like a woman, son. It's all how you hold her.
Worth a lot of money, and a damn sure ain't for sale. Good Lord only knows all the stories.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM. The Shaw, Joel Klaff, is here sitting across from my favorite co-host.
Ooh, favorite.
Well, only. Sorry.
So number
mean
one.
To burst your bubble.
Number one.
You're
and
number
last place.
One out of a large pool. Although, I have to be honest, the more Anya talks on the show, the more I like it. But
don't get used to it. That.
Don't get used to it.
I don't know. I needed a joke. I couldn't think of one that fast.
Come on. You're usually fairly witty in there, too.
Usually.
When she's not just shaking her head at me in disbelief.
And like, sometimes no. That's the wittiest thing I can do.
No. I went bobcat hunting.
I know. You told me this. How did it go? I was not updated because we were saving it for the show. We were saving it for everybody here. Listen up.
Bobcat hunting. Okay. I think bobcat hunting in northern Wisconsin. Now, here's the thing. You're going to get from a lot of people that you can bobcat hunt. Come down. I have friends in Texas. And
I'm sorry. I say that.
Come down to Texas. We got bobcats all over the place. Now, that was more of like a southern, like, mid-Florida accent. We got bobcats all over the place.
And you're an accent kind of guy, too.
I love accents.
You do.
I love doing accents. But now, I mean, you have to be a little bit sensitive about it. You can't necessarily just do all accents anymore. You have to have, you know.
I can't do one.
I can do a southern accent, though. Hey, y'all come on down and bobcat hunt. We got some everywhere.
Worse.
I was fixing to go bobcat hunting. Here, yeah.
Hog hunting. I want to go hog hunting.
Hog. It's like hog.
I still have two words, because I grew up in Florida. I have two words that I still say and everyone makes fun of me for. It is, now I'm nervous. It is tire, and iron.
Tar, iron.
And iron. I run heavy iron.
We're getting very far off track, Danielle.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, right? So
it happens a lot.
Everybody, so I just want to be clear. So in Texas and in Florida, the bobcats they have down there are very small. I mean, a big bobcat in Florida or Texas is 19, 20 pounds. So I'm up north, and I'm hunting bobcats with the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association, Senator Rob Staffschult. We're up, and I love it because they all have nicknames. It's like, I mean, you know how everybody at a bar has, like, oh, hey, meet Dumpster and Kickstand and Twilight, Armchair, Microphone.
What is yours? Are you Microphone?
No, I don't have a nickname. Oh. I mean, my nickname my whole life has been Fish. Fish,
well,
in college, it was Fish or Clayfish. Sometimes it was Cleavage. That was one of my nicknames in high school. Because Clayfish sounds like that a little bit.
It does.
Elvis in his later years, which I don't find particularly flattering.
It's the hair. You got the hair.
Well, thanks. Hey, at least you said I still got hair. But we're up there, and we're literally like hunting with possum, digger.
Oh, possum.
Possum, digger. Something was like sand, handstand or hand sand or something with sand in it.
But why?
And possum was a woman who was like, she knew her stuff, man. She was awesome.
Yeah.
Like identified the tracks and Amy. It was just a great, great crew. And I'm telling you, up there, those guys won't even run a track unless they think that cat is like 30 pounds plus.
Okay, for someone like me has never even looked into bobcat hunting, you should probably explain to me and all of us listening.
Like how you do it?
Yeah.
It is so fascinating. So you get up before dawn and you go out and you start looking for tracks. Because and the best hunting is when it snows. And we got Alex Lauren and Chris Smart on the show, mm-hmm. She's nodding a lot.
Oh, she is ready to go.
I don't want to deny her the chance to jump in on what we're talking about. But welcome to the show, you guys. Chris Smart is a precision rifle shooter, which I'm real excited to get to. Alex Lauren is just an all around hunting, fishing, hunter's education teacher extraordinaire, all things outdoors. But we're going to get to that. So jump in on this bobcat conversation if you want to. So You go out looking for tracks. Now, here's the craziest part. I never thought in a million years, and we had what are considered fairly optimal conditions. Optimal conditions are it snows, then it's night, and then the next morning, they're all the tracks you see were tracks that were made that night.
That's
because it
fresh.
Just snowed. Mm-hmm. That's what you really want. And we go out, and you're kind of buzzing along the woods in the Shawangunk National Forest, and you're looking for tracks. And I cannot believe the tracks we saw. If I said we saw 10 different tracks, I bet you couldn't even name five of them, because you never think you're going to see these tracks on a regular basis. So we saw elk tracks, whitetail tracks, coyote tracks, coyote tracks. That's the same thing. Bobcat tracks. Mm-hmm. Fisher tracks. Ermine tracks.
Oh, what?
Mink tracks.
Jeez.
We saw rough grouse tracks. We saw, what are some other little critters that run around up there? There's a type of weasel that I'm forgetting the name of as well. It's like an ermine, but I cannot. All these animals exist in the North Woods of Wisconsin. And you know what? Otter tracks.
There we go.
You can literally get tags to trap or hunt almost all these animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, so if somebody says, oh yeah, I can't hunt enough species in Wisconsin, they're nuts. You can hunt so many cool things. So the toughest part is discerning which of the tracks are actually bobcat tracks, because bobcat and coyote, now, which is weird because one's dog and one's a cat,
yes,
are very similar tracks. They're
really
the toughest ones to differentiate.
I feel like I need to Google this and look this up.
So when you get a track, you find a track that you want to run. Now, we find lots of little ones. They know roughly the size and the weight
they are
of these bobcats based on their track, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And their stride, right? Their track and their stride. And you let the dogs out. I know, say it. Everybody says it every time when I say you let the dogs out.
I wasn't even thinking of the dog. Even thinking of the song. I was thinking of the hounds going.
Anya is nodding. Jump in.
I was going to try to type it into YouTube fast enough, and I couldn't. I was just going to start playing it. You guys move too quick on this show.
So I do have to, the new camera, the old camera had such a nice filter on it. It
oh,
took
shush.
Away my bags and everything. And the new filter is like showing every line on my face.
I put the bag
Elvis
filter on it. Did you not?
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Thank
good save.
You put the bag.
I just thought I'd add more.
Did you put the old bag filter?
Yeah,
on
yeah. It said old man filter, and that's what I put on. Oh, yeah. No.
Thanks. So you set the dogs out, and these are hounds, usually plots or curs, some type of hound. And the dogs cold track it at that point. That's what they call cold tracking it. So they're following the tracks in hopes of bumping into the animal that you're pursuing, right? And I have to tell you, anybody who thinks, oh, that's mean on the dogs, these dogs
that's what they're bred for, yeah.
Love it. And
yeah,
I don't care if they're
job.
Bred for it or if they just existed
it's
that
in their
way
blood.
Forever.
Yeah.
It is
especially in curs.
There is nothing that makes these dogs happier than chasing tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
hunters.
Mm-hmm.
They're carnivores, people. Dogs are carnivores. I hate to break this to you, but all these people who are vegetarians and tell everybody how evil it is to eat meat, I always ask them, do you have a dog? And they say yes. And I say, what do you feed your dog? Well, dog food. Dog food is meat.
Amen.
Dog food is meat. Dogs are carnivores. They only mm-hmm. eat meat. So if you're a vegetarian and you don't believe in feeding anything meat, well, kind of contradicts having a dog. So these dogs will go and they're chasing the track, the cold track. And when they bump into the animal, that's called jumping the animal. So the animal's jumped. That's when the animal actually realizes the dog is chasing them. And then it's like, oh,
and
crap.
And it's on.
That's called, oh, yeah, they're jumped. Because then the hounds go nuts. I mean, they're like, and then the trick is, now it's bramble and briar and any other B word that means tangling all over the place up there. And it's uphills and downhills in a foot and a half of snow. It is not for the weary or fat
that sounds exhausting.
And old like me. So I'm like, and we had two tags up there. One of the kids was 18 and I'm just 38.
Just.
And I'm thinking to myself, this kid's going to beat me to anything that's treed or bayed, you know, because he's thin and fit and young. And I'm thinking, am I just completely SOL here? Mm-hmm. But what happens is they chase these things and you never know where they're going to pop out. So you kind of try to put yourself in a position that you don't have to walk like much more than a mile in to get to where the bay is. But they can be bait and then get away again and mm-hmm. and all the rest. And that's how you hunt them. Now, we ran three tracks. All these tracks were about the size of a Kodiak chewing tobacco tin. Now, that means that those cats were 35 pounds or bigger each. So when you shoot cats, you know, in the South, when you hunt bobcats, they're much, much smaller. But these things that we chased were huge. Unfortunately, we never jumped any and we never got any. And on the way home, like 5 of the 8 of us who were in the bobcat hunting crew ended up with the stomach flu.
No.
Oh, yes.
That sounds so much
you
fun.
You caught something. You didn't go home empty-handed.
Wow. Thanks, Alex. Who invited her to the show? You know what? That's okay. That's like a dad joke, so I'll take it.
It was actually. It's pretty good.
Alex, have you ever bobcat hunted?
I've never bobcat hunted, no.
Well, I'm in this conundrum because my tag, you only get a tag like once every 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like getting a bear tag in the best zones. And you chase them. Now, they're real tough to hunt up near the Clam Lake area. But if you do get on a decent bobcat, there's much more of a chance of it being a bigger bobcat. So that's cool. But I'm kind of torn because you only get one tag every 10 years or so. But you get the whole month. You get a whole month to do it. So either December early season or January late season.
So you still have time.
I have time to go back. I'm just a little nervous about it because number one, I don't want to chase bobcats for 4 days again and not get one. Number two, I don't want to end up with the stomach flu again.
Okay, so 3 years from now, you're going to be like, oh man, that was totally worth the stomach flu.
I'm going to, because, and I know I'm going to go back and hunt some more. It didn't shake out, but it is probably, I'm not joking, one of the toughest hunts you can go on is chasing bobcats with dogs.
Mm-hmm. See, the only thing I can relate that to is wading through the marsh and some thick, thick muck.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
I am terrified of getting water in my waders and falling in and getting sucked and going all the way down to the pits of the earth.
I hate to break it to you. You'll die of hypothermia long before you will get sucked into the pits of the earth. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Chris Smart, precision rifle shooter Alex Lauren, and Danielle Fairman are coming right back.
With a half-shot box of shells and a kit to keep it clean. I keep a picture in the case.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
I have to tell you, I mean, we're coming back from the break. We're going to get to Chris Smart here pretty quick, who's a precision rifle shooter, which is something that I have to... Yeah. Okay, Danielle, serious rifle shooters love when people are like, oh, pew, pew.
Bang, bang, bang. That better?
Oh, we're going to talk about subject. But
I don't know what to do now. What made you feel good, Chris? Did a pew pew or bang or nothing? He's just looking at me with like,
yeah.
Sorry, hey, hi, I'm Danielle. Hey, this is who I am. I do
looks,
not understand myself
confused
either.
Looks do not translate on radio, Chris.
Before we get into this.
Okay, I have something too.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I did not have a headset the first time. That's why my conversation was short, because I could not hear myself. And you know I have trouble with saying iron and tire?
Yes.
Anastasia gave me something. She said, I cannot read it until we're back on air.
Yeah, so it's a little phrase, and Danielle's going to read it, and
oh, no.
You guys are going to try to figure out if you understand it. She's going to say it just in her way, and you're going to try to see if you understand her.
I don't even know if I understand myself. Aaron earned and iron earn.
What? Can I try?
Go ahead.
Just because Danielle and I have known each other for 20 years. Aaron earned an iron urn.
Yes.
Yes.
She's not as bad as I thought. All right.
No,
all right.
No,
Aaron Earn.
We've literally sat in the blind together. I love linguistics. I really do love linguistics. And we've sat in the blind together and talked about like pronunciations of words and stuff in the past. So it is kind of a fun pastime, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So before we get too far away from Hell's Bells, which was the AC/DC song that we came back from break on, when we were in college, I went to Pepperdine University, which was a fundamentalist Christian university, and they had a bell tower, and the bell tower worked on a cassette tape at the time. Now, I know you kids don't know what those cassette tapes were, but it was a cassette tape they'd put in and play the bongs of the bell for the hour.
The bong.
Bong, bong, bong. So we, our fraternity, and I think I'm far enough, I'm outside of the statute of limitations. We literally broke/got our way into the bell tower and put the AC/DC song in instead of the bongs for the bell. So it started a bong, bong, and then played Hell's Bells over the entire campus.
That's fantastic.
It was awesome. It was so awesome. It was one of the few things until today we never got caught doing. So,
until today. Oh, yeah. Now you just told everybody, you told the world about it.
We got caught for the stunts we pulled, but yeah.
How do you hide that for that long?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Now, what was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
I don't know.
All right, well,
I think it was just this.
Okay.
I
want to introduce Chris Smart, who's a precision rifle shooter. He's got his Team Wisconsin shirt on, sweatshirt on. Chris, number one, tell me what Team Wisconsin is and tell me a little bit about precision rifle shooting.
Yeah, so Team Wisconsin is essentially, it's all of us as a group for Wisconsin. So at the end of every year, our guys that run everything, we're great enough that we shoot our finale. But then on the Sunday following that, they put a state versus state kind of friendly competition on after that. So
how many people are on the team?
It varies every year. So it's kind of a volunteer to come out and shoot for that Sunday. We'll have representatives for that from Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Is this all over the United States? Like how many people, how many states come afterwards?
So we're regionally here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're 5 states in this region, but nice. This is also a national sport.
Ooh.
So Precision Rifle Series is the national sponsor for it or organization for it. And then we, on top of that, we have like a regional competition that we run.
Wow. That sounds awesome. We're going to get into some details because I'm actually fascinated by this.
I am.
Because
me too.
rifle shooting for hunters, I think, is something that is completely under practiced and underutilized in the situation mm-hmm. of an actual animal in front of you when your blood's pumping, you're breathing heavy. You kind of, everything you've learned about how to shoot correctly has gone out the window. Do you find that that's true, Chris?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the whole thing in this competition is it's kind of designed around military, law enforcement, hunting scenarios. So you're putting yourself in odd positions, odd barricades to find a good rest on, but you're underneath a time constraint and a shot clock. So
that sounds exhausting. I would be so nervous.
Yeah, it's giving you those stressors. So my whole point behind it is why I got into it is I like it for the practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So getting into those hunting scenarios, your blood starts to pump, your adrenaline's going. This is kind of a way where you can simulate that within a way in order to kind of figure out how to overcome that in that situation.
Well, I want to address the elephant in the room, and that is the fact that Chris and Alex are newly fiancé.
Yes, they are.
I mean, I know that it was brand new last time. You got a rock on your finger the size of Texas.
It's like a disco ball in here, man.
Precision shooting must pay well these days. That's all
you did good, Chris.
And I want to congratulate you, unless that's gone south since she got the ring.
She still got it.
You kind of said that like she was the lucky one. I'm not sure that that's the... I don't know that yet, Chris. So
it's up in the air yet.
We're gonna finish out this segment. When we come back, we're going to start with the very basics of how somebody in the hunting scenario can become a better shooter. But one of the things that I've noticed that has blown my mind is that everybody, almost everybody, has their own personal sound for when a gun goes off.
Pew, pew.
Well, bam. That's more one of the more common. Okay, that was your sound right there. Do that again. So I'm just going to, everybody has, I mean, when I hunt in different places in the world, everybody has a different sound. Danielle's is like sucking in for, do it again.
Why am I keep doing this?
Just do it again. Okay.
I do.
So my sound for when a gun is shot in the crowd, or in the crowd, I don't know. I do not know where that came from.
Okay, crowd, because he was talking about teams and everything.
No, in the woods is,
that's my sound. Rifle. Yeah.
But I don't know anyone else who does. But my college roommate, he does, his sound is fwabap. That's what
he's, bam.
Fwabap.
Bap.
Fwabap.
I feel like you're hitting me with nunchucks.
Fwabap.
It's more like a bow.
Yeah. See, that to me is more like a bow. Fwabap. Or kind of, what do I say
for a bow?
It's
such a weird show. Shh. I love it so much.
And one of my buddies in South Africa, Eric Stridham, his is shtoop.
I like how this is an actual thing you bring up with everybody.
Well, but it's so fascinating.
Shtoop means something very different in Yiddish.
Shtoop?
Yiddish?
Shtoop does? What does shtoop mean in Yiddish?
I can't say it on air. You got 40 seconds, buddy.
Okay.
Light bulb. I want to know more about how you get into this, because I want to go out and shoot things. How do you? I want to know how we do this. But save that for later when we get back. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Chris and Alex.
You don't have to look far, all you gotta do is look around. This is NRA country.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK and throughout the great state of Wisconsin on all your civic media stations. Do not
Hey.
We would be remiss on Raised in Wisco if we were not talking about how great it is that the Green Bay Packers are in the playoffs, Danielle.
Oh, they are?
Okay.
I knew that. That's hard.
Works. Ouch.
I'm sorry, but I go to games.
Okay.
I tailgate.
And then you don't go to the game.
I don't care. I really don't care. It is not part of my pastime.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm much rather sit in the woods than go sit in front of the TV.
Well, all right. I'm not going to have that debate with you. I'm just telling you can be in the woods and have the AirPod in to WAUK and your civic media stations, because we are covering the Packers like no one else. Mike Clemens is on it and he knows his stuff. So even somebody who doesn't know about the Packers like you certainly can learn about the Packers, even if you're out in the woods. Put the earbud in. You know, sometimes I put the earbud in and that'll be just when you don't hear the deer walking up, but also kind of you get in that trance, and I think animals don't notice you as much when you're kind of in that trance in the woods. So sometimes I will sit there with the AirPods in and sometimes without. But if you're following the Packers, which the entire state of Wisconsin is, make sure to check out your civic media stations and 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM The Shaw. We're going to get back. Wait, to Chris Smart.
Did you hear we have the farm report now as well on the civic media?
We do have Pam Yonke.
I like her so much. She's so great. I know nothing about farming, but I love listening to her.
Do you know that farmers play radio stations for their cows and it increases milk production? Aww. I'm not even joking about that.
I believe it.
And I think if they listen to this show, it will really increase their milk production because we know how to milk everything.
Oh, man. But a boom, boom.
Oh, no.
I'm very proud.
Watermelon gave us the thumbs up. Anastasia gave us the thumbs down. So we're coming out at a draw on that one. We're going to get to Chris Smart in a second, but let's go to Ray Ray first, who's calling us all the way from Virginia.
Virginia.
That's the kind of reach Raised in Wisco's got. Ray Ray, what's going on?
Hello. Hey, hey, how are you guys doing this evening?
We're doing great. What's going on with you?
Stumbling around finding you guys, enjoying your station, finding by accident. You're supporting the disabilities and stuff. I'm a man with no eyeballs in my head, so calling in the dark and in a time zone change. I'm very surprised. I'm really impressed with you guys. And the deal with if we could sway away from things just for a second, the Packers. You guys, I mean, the community can own a piece of the Packers.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so awesome now. So I don't know. Could we keep it simple here and not get too heavy now? I mean, or do you want to go Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy Kimmel?
I don't think we need to talk about that. We're just excited for the new love generation.
There you go. There you go. And that is such a good deal. And so the perspective of football here and everything else. But you guys have you seem to be pretty straightforward on some things, and that I enjoy the conversation, and it's not too heavy handed on one side or another.
Well, I appreciate that, Ray. And something that's very important to this show and very important to us on Raised in Wisco is making sure people who have disabilities still have those opportunities to get out into the outdoors. And I know, mm-hmm. Alex, that is something that's very important to you. And making sure everybody, and even those who've never been exposed to the great state of Wisconsin, the resources we offer, is able to get out there.
Oh,
okay,
yes.
Let's get back to it. Chris Smart, most importantly, what is your sound for a gun going off?
Oh, yes. Okay. What is yours?
We're going to my sound on this?
Yeah.
We'll, I have the same one
we
as
go
you,
to Ray
like,
Ray's
like a rifle in the woods.
Well, let's hear it, because I bet it's not exactly the same.
Bang.
No. We're good.
Are you
Alex
afraid?
Alex is over here trying to egg me on.
We'll get it.
Oh, that's my sound. All right.
What about Ray Ray's? Ray Ray, do you have a sound? Are you still with us?
No.
Is he gone?
I think we lost Ray Ray. Thanks for calling in from Virginia, though. Chris, talk to me about precision rifle shooting in the hunting scenario. Take me through the most important things top to bottom on that, because so many people get to that point where they've worked for years on so many things. They've got the right equipment. They've got the right attitude. They've got the right location, and that animal of a lifetime's in front of them and they mess up the shot. So what are the quintessential basics to do your best when you're actually hunting an animal? And on top of that and beyond that, something very important is to take an ethical shot. You mm-hmm. want that animal, you want that shot to kill that animal as quickly as possible.
Yeah. So a lot of it, especially with the PRS side of it, is it's the moment of the shot or right before the shot. Right. So being able to control.
What do you mean the PRS moment?
Precision rifle series.
Okay.
So I use that specifically because it's the moment right before the shot, right? Your heart's going, you're breathing. Being able to learn to control that in the moment, that's hands down for me, at least that's the biggest point, right? Being able to have the adrenaline going, you're off rhythm, being able to take that breath, get your mindset, and then take an ethical shot.
Especially when you're under the clock too. Like, yeah. Yes, we're under the clock when an animal comes in front of in our shooting lane. Yes, we are, but we don't know if they're going to be there for a minute, 5 minutes, 10 seconds, but you know you have 90 to 120 seconds, right? Is that it?
Yeah, it'll vary by the match, by the stage, 90 seconds, 120 seconds. And it seems like a lot when you say it's 2 minutes, but you have 10 rounds to get off in that time.
Oh, you have 10 rounds to get off in that time?
Yeah.
Usually, I did not know that.
Usually 10 rounds, like I said, every stage is different. So it's kind of...
So that's around 12 seconds a shot.
Yeah, really. And you got to move and build your shooting positions. So a lot of these stages will be, you know, set up your initial spot, take two shots and then move. Take another two shots at that new position, move again.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So you may move 5+
and
times.
I hate to say this, but what you're describing is very often, I mean, not as many shots, hopefully, but... lining up and aiming and then changing position and aiming again is very often a hunting scenario.
Mm-hmm. Especially with duck hunting. They come from all different directions.
And duck hunting is much more instinctive hunting than rifle shooting, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, I'm an instinctive shooter and I'm okay. I'm only okay. I think I probably hit 60%, maybe 50, maybe 60% of the birds. And I'm always trying to take headshots because they're ethical. But let's outline a very specific hunting scenario. And I want you to take me through step by step what should be going through the hunter's mind. Let's say whitetail walks out 150 yards, 30-06 with a 3x9 scope, and you were still hunting. So you were slowly walking through the woods. It walks out. You've got a tree next to you. What do you do? What is the kind of the most optimal situation to drill or practice in your head? And take me step by step by step to pulling the trigger on that whitetail.
Yeah. So if you've got a tree next to you, that obviously that's a great brace to use. So I'd be looking at seeing how I can get to that tree. How can I get to it? How can I stabilize the rifle where I'm not having to fully carry the weight? Obviously, your breathing's going to be heavy, especially mm-hmm. if you're walking around.
Is it that much more important to have a brace than it is to freehand shoot something? I mean, do we see huge percentages of differences in those two things?
It's going to depend on the distance. You know, what are you capable with that firearm?
So 150 yards, I 90% of the time get to the tree because you're going to have that much better of a shot.
In my scenario,
the average hunter, not
yeah.
you,
yeah.
not you, a precision shooter for 1,000 miles. Okay, then what's the next step? You get to that tree. How are you putting your hand on that tree to brace that gun? What are you trying to do when you got, let's say you're a right-handed shooter and the tree's on your left side?
Yeah, so I'm going to use that, but I'm lefty, so I'm a little backwards on that.
That's right, just fine. You're
but
a
I'm going to take my
shooter.
Right hand. I'm going to be trying to get my fingers on that tree while grabbing the forearm of the rifle.
Okay.
So I want to be able to basically hold that entire rifle with my support hand against the tree so it can't move.
Okay.
So that way your rifle is as steady as you can make it with that. And then just keep it in your shoulder and just slowly take a breath and squeeze the shot off.
So I have not had the pleasure of shooting rifles, really. Maybe once or twice I've actually fired one. So let's say it's 150 out. How it's a dead calm day. Am I aiming straight at where I would normally shoot if it was close by with a bow?
It's highly going to depend on the caliber and what you're using.
Oh, hot dog.
Well, no,
so I don't know if I'll be able to do
brought up 30-06.
Oh, you're going
to In that scenario, I'm not worried. I would shoot that like it's a 100-yard shot just the same.
150-yard shot with just about any high-powered rifle that you're going to have for whitetail. And correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. Anything from a 243, which is about the smallest round, you'll probably end up in the woods with whitetail. To a 30-06, to 300 Weatherby or Win Mag, or 257 Magnum. Those are all going to shoot. None of those bullets are really going to have much drop at 150 yards.
See, when I go deer hunting, I put a scope on my Mossberg 500, and I don't shoot very far. That's my gun hunting.
Rifle hunting with a shotgun,
yes.
In other words.
So yeah. I don't have the experience of doing any of this. Well, okay, I've watched, you know, movies.
Yeah, and that's... So that is part of that with the PRS, right? So you're going to be able to test your skills, but you're also testing your equipment. So you're going to be able to see what is your rifle capable at 300, 4, 5, 6. Now, some of these matches will be a 1,000 yards. I've seen a couple...
1,000 yards?
Yep. And a couple of these will run, if they're available, to a mile.
Ooh. That's insane.
I'm so down to try
so
this.
So then you're talking about bullet drop compensation, windage...
direction that you're shooting that's going to start to play.
Direction you're shooting in?
Yeah.
What? How?
Because of the rotation of the earth?
Yep.
Seriously? It makes that big of a difference?
Yeah.
Well, over a mile.
Yeah.
If your bullet's traveling at, let's say, 3,000 feet per second, it's taking more than a second to get that mile.
Oh, that's so
it's
cool. I have to watch this.
Longer than a second to get that mile, to get to that mile, and the bullet is going to, you know, gravity's taking hold, but then that's against the rifling of the barrel, which is another physics effect. That
you're going to start to get into rotation from the barrel. You're going to get into the rotation of the earth. Even those, you're talking more extremes in those scenarios.
So
I would highly not go to that.
If you're a flat earther, you would not take into compensation the rotation of the earth.
You would not. They say, nope, it ain't true.
That's it. We've just settled it. Anya, we settled it.
I don't think we could say that.
Why
I don't think
not?
We're allowed to say that on air. I'm sorry.
We settled it. The earth is round because Chris
Oh, that
Smart,
we that okay,
yeah.
we can say that way.
Okay.
I thought you
what
meant
you...
the other one.
Oh no, we can't say
we can say that.
We can say that the earth is round because Chris Smart says he has to take into consideration the compensation of
rotation of the earth, though.
The rotation of the earth. I'm a little bit jealous of the name Chris Smart.
Yeah. And now she'll be Miss Smarty Pants.
That now you'll be, are you going to take his name?
Yes.
Mrs. Smart.
That's
oh
nice.
Oh my gosh. Alex Smart. Alexandra Smart.
So she's so smart. Okay, what name. Is the longest
but
shot you've taken?
Lauren's a pretty good name, too. So
my furthest shot's 1384.
Dang.
Oh, wow.
That's a long shot. Now, so, okay, back to the hunting scenario. Just because I'm trying to get better here, Danielle.
You're amazing.
Honestly, the great thing to do is bring a hunting rifle, you know, bring what you've got, come out to a match.
Where are these matches held? Are they different every single time, or do you guys have a place you go to?
Do they have them in the winter?
So we'll be running... I think we're starting up in March this year, and we'll be running up until September.
Well, that's a long time to get out to
one
match.
Saturday.
Why don't you plug how people can get, people know how to find this.
Can I come out and play?
Yeah, so we've got a Facebook group.
Oh, Danielle will show up, and she'll have like six shotguns in the back.
Like, I got all of these things. What can we do?
Rifles would be a good option.
I don't have one. Can I shoot yours?
Well, not yet. You don't have one yet. You're going to get a rifle.
One day. Oh, I am a journeyman now, so I can't afford this.
It's not even that far into the future, okay?
You can get
a halfway decent rifle for like $250.
I'm done with my Browning Maxus. I'm done. We're over.
Well, that's a shotgun.
I know.
So
how
do people do this if they want to, Chris?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. So we have a Facebook group, or I shouldn't say they have a Facebook group. So it's Wisconsin Precision Rifle Series.
Wisconsin Precision Rifle Series on Facebook. Check it out. We're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to keep talking to Chris Smart about precision rifle shooting, and Alex Lauren, his newly fiancéed fiance. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. USA, God and family. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I like it. We're kind of kicking it old school with the AC/DC.
I'm liking it a lot.
AC/DC was, that was like my era, college and a little post-college probably. And I think, what was the guy's name? Agnes Young or something? Does that sound right? Angus Young, right? Angus, not Agnes.
That's like a girl's name.
Agnes, like Black Angus Beef, not Agnes. It's not Black Agnes Beef. That would be weird. Chris Smart was giving us some highlights and details about becoming a better shooter, becoming a better aimer when you're out there hunting. But it always has other applications as well. And it was telling us some about the competition. And would you advise some people get into this who've never heard of it? Because this sounds like something really fun people can do outside of the hunting season.
Yeah, we have a lot of newcomers every year that come out just to see it, try it, get a feel for it. At least they can try things at further distances than they've done it in the past. Some of that with the PRS side of it, like we were showing you, we get a lot of newcomers on the Facebook group that'll ask questions. Everyone is super helpful, willing to share information, equipment, let you borrow it, try it. So we always recommend when people ask, we're like, just, you know, if you've got a rifle, come on out, try it, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be squatted, you know, with roughly 10 people. So 9 other people will be with you that usually will make sure that you have experienced people with you.
So this is not like any gun range. Like if you go to McMillers or anything, this is, you're shooting at little metal targets going bing, 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 right?
Yeah, so we use we use Columbus Sportsman's Association this year. So that's where most of our matches will be held.
Okay, where is that?
North on Highway 26.
Oh, okay, nice.
Just north of the city of Columbus.
Oh, shocking.
South of Beaver Dam.
Yeah, which is just kind of over by Beaver Dam and about 35 minutes north of Madison. So it's kind of accessible by Madison, the Milwaukee market, and you know, half of the civic media stations from across the great state of Wisconsin. Alex, you're nodding a lot over there. I need to ask you some questions, though.
Hey, you have not gotten on to us.
Alex, has your fiance taught you or helped you become a better rifle shooter?
Yes, he has.
Why do you say that like with a defeatist attitude? Like, oh, well, I guess.
You definitely have. Like, you've taught me a lot. I mean, definitely it's, you watch these people, these guys, these ladies, calculate their dope, calculate their windage.
What's dope?
I could tell you.
Yo, bro, that's
data on previous engagement.
Okay.
So, all right.
Anastasia said she could tell us too.
Yeah.
Oh, she's lobbed one back. She lobbed.
You didn't
one
even one. Hear it.
She lobbed one right back at you.
Yeah, so a lot of us have ballistic calculators on our phones, or we have wind meters.
Well, who doesn't?
So we're using that based on the knowledge of what's the muzzle velocity of the ammo we're using, what's the grain weight of that bullet, what's the twist rate of the rifle. All of that information gets put in a calculator, and there's a lot of math that goes on in the background, but there's an app on your phone. You can plug in the data and say, I'm shooting at a certain distance, this direction, this is my wind, and it'll give you a recommendation that you can use.
And when you use that recommendation, are you tuning your scope then to that recommendation? So it'll say 7 clicks right, 2 clicks down. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh.
So my scope is exposed turrets. That's what I use. So I can make quick adjustments. It's got markings on it, so I don't lose track of where zero truly is.
Huh.
And exposed turrets give me fits, because I will sight my gun in at 200 yards and then in the case or while I'm walking or while I'm sitting there, I've bumped it and moved it a few clicks. And then all of a sudden I'm shooting, you know, 5 inches off. That drives me nuts.
Yeah. So if you look at a lot of these higher end scopes, you don't have to get into a higher
end
scope.
I didn't say I was
scope.
Shooting with higher end scopes, Chris.
You don't have to, but a lot of the manufacturers now are bringing out what they call like a zero stop. So there's a collar underneath that you set in reference to a zero. So if you ever go out hiking, hunting, and you bump your zero, you know to just crank down back to your zero location.
And then it's a hard stop on
and
that.
It's a hard
so
stop
you know
at that
it's
point.
Where you sighted your gun in
yep.
with no wind at 150 yards or 100 yards or something like that.
Nice.
So, Alex, do you do this? You've got a Team Wisconsin shirt on, too. Are you out there doing this precision rifle shooting?
So the way I'm out there in the capacity is I'm either an RO or I'm a squad mom.
Okay.
What's an RO?
What's an RO?
Range officer.
Okay.
There's
cool.
something that PRS puts on called the Barrel Maker. That was what they used to put on. It's basically the big finale for the Wisconsin series, and they need volunteers to help run the squads. And me and Chris were ROs one time.
It's a pro series.
Pro series shoot. And I had people saying, I could hear you from across the field, Alex. Because when I do it, I'm real serious. I'm like,
I'm very loud, evidently.
I'm very loud. I am very loud. I got that from Teach a Hunter Safety, being the range officer. But it's something I want to get into. But, you know, it is with him, everything is such an investment because he's such a gun freak and it's basically his job.
Yeah, guns are so cool, though.
You know, my thing this year has really been, I just really support Chris in this sport and I'm there for him. But my thing right now is like doing the hunter safety and doing the events and stuff like that. But I would love to.
And we talked about that with you last week. Would you plug your upcoming event for us real quick
yes.
so folks know what it is and where they can go and reach out
yes.
to be a part of it?
So I am a First Hunt Foundation Share the Heritage State Representative for First Hunt mentor. And what we're doing on February 10th and the 11th at Milford Hills, my accent came out, Milford Hills, Milford Hills, we are hosting a free mentored pheasant hunt and a hunter's education class. So in order to be a participant for that, 18 older, do not carry a current hunter safety education cert, and be a Wisconsin resident.
And this is for women, correct?
For women only.
Yes.
Yep.
This
event
fantastic.
Is for women only. But just some updates. I went to Milford Hills today, talked to them, saw the
did
classroom.
Did you meet with Taylor Williams?
I did.
He's awesome.
He is.
I love that guy. He's the most accommodating
awesome.
Person I've ever met.
Very professional. Very, very nice.
Good job, Taylor Williams. I'm telling Lloyd that for you.
I met with Tim Slavens. Sorry, Tim, if I said your last name wrong. He's the head instructor there for Hunter Safety. We're going to be working together, teaching
nice.
The girls. And
How many more spots do you have? 8 spots. How many more do you have left?
We have 8 spots so far. I have 22 submissions. So it's open until January 17th, ladies. So make sure you get your submissions in. And we'll be picking them on January 17th.
Well, that is awesome. And that is a perfect way to wrap up the show. Are you going to... Oh, no. You have your hunter cert, obviously. Do you know anyone who's going to apply for that?
I had a couple of friends that already did. But we'll see if they choose them.
Gosh, we learned a lot about precision rifle shooting, about what Alex has got going to get women into hunting. What an awesome show it was.
Yes.
Hey, yo, to our 5 listeners, the Kennedy clan in Oconomowoc.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week on Raised in Wisco.
Bye. See you. Shake it up.